Okay, so we're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah says like this: Hachoyshev l'shleich yad bepikadin. So we know that if you're shleich yad bepikadin, if a shomer uses the item, misappropriates the item and uses it without permission, he's a ganif. What if a person doesn't actually use it, but he says he's going to use it? It's machlokes tanoim whether you're already a ganif from the time that you say you're going to use it. Where does it come from? Beishame oimrim chayiv. Beishame says merely showing intent to steal as a shomer already makes you a shaleach yad and responsible for any oinsin. Beis Hillel says no. Ein chayiv ashiyishuch bayad. Beis Hillel says the more practical, more poshit, cheshbin, which is no, you're chayiv when you touch it. Until you touch it, you're not a ganif. Shenemar im loy shalach yad b'melachas b'yehu. The pasuk says shaleach yad. It doesn't say intent. It says to do it. Fine. Now, one more halacha that you have to know about shlichas yad is that you're only considered a shaleach yad if you make a kinyan. If you don't make a kinyan, you're not shaleach yad. Now, we mentioned a couple days ago, the difference between shlichas yad and a ganif is that if you're shaleach yad, even on a part of the item, you're a ganif for the whole thing. But you need a kinyan. So says the Mishnah, Hita es a chavis v'notlem en a revius. You move the barrel and you pour the barrel. You pour out a cup of wine. Now, pouring a barrel, moving the barrel without lifting it up is not a kinyan. So you never made a kinyan on the whole barrel. All you did was you stole that cup of wine. You didn't make a kinyan on the whole barrel. So all you're responsible is for the cup of wine. If you do a maisa gneva, if you do a maisa of shlichas yad on the entire barrel, then if an oinus happens to it later on, you're responsible. But over here, I turn the barrel and I poured out a cup of wine. I turn the barrel and I poured out a cup of wine. So you're only considered a shaleach yad on the cup. So says the Mishnah, hita sechavis v'natalim en revius v'nishbara, enoi mishalim el revius. You're only responsible for that cup. But higbia, but if you pick up the whole barrel, if you pick up the whole barrel with the intent to do shlichas yad and then you pour out a cup, you're responsible on the entire barrel because you did a maisa kinyan. And once you do a maisa kinyan, you can't be shaleach yad unless you do a maisa kinyan. But once you do a maisa kinyan, then you're shaleach yad. Fine. Says the Gemara, minani mili, the beginning of Mem Dalad Mem Aleph. How do I know? It's a machlekes tanoim beishame beis Hillel whether you're shaleach yad if you say you're going to steal it. You didn't actually steal it yet, but you showed intent. Beishame says you're shaleach yad from the moment you show intent. Beis Hillel disagrees. What's the machlekes based on? Minoni mili, how do you know this? Ditan rabbanon, Chazal teach, al kol dvar pesha. Dvar, you could translate as like dibar. Al kol dvar pesha. Merely speaking about the sin of stealing, says Beis Shammai, that's enough. So Beis Shammai focuses on the word dvar. Beis Hillel, we already had from the Mishnah, they focus on the fact that it's a shaleach yad. So it just depends on which word do you focus on. Says Beis Shammai, al kol dvar pesha, Beis Shammai oimim, melamit shechayev al machshav kemaisa. Dvar means speaking. Didn't actually do anything. You just showed intent. So you see, Beis Shammai holds that you're a ganif merely from showing intent to steal. Beis Hillel oimrim, ein echayiv at shlishich bayad. Beis Hillel says, no, you're only a shaleach yad when you're a shaleach yad. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, im loy shalach yadoy b'meleches reyehu. Fine. So just the different sources in the pasuk.
So Beis Shammai would hold
that if you merely say that you're going to be shaleach yad, you're considered shaleach yad from that moment. So Amar lehen Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says to the Beis Hillel, Haloi kvar nemar al kol dvar pesha. What do you do with our pasuk? Al kol dvar pesha, dvar meaning even dibor. So Amar lehen Beis Hillel the Beis Shammai. Valoi kvar nemar al loy shaleach yad melachas reyehu. So Beis Hillel says, well, what do you do with our pasuk? Shaleach yad. So im kein matam alor al kol dvar pesha. So Beis Hillel says, I'll tell you what we do with it. So im ki matam alor ma kol dvar pesha shiachel ein li elohu amr laavdoi lushluchay minayin tam alor ma kol dvar pesha. You know what al kol dvar pesha teaches you? It's inclusive. It's not inclusive of speech. You know what it is? We have a rule that ein shlichas dvar avera, which means if I send you to kill somebody and you kill somebody, I'm not responsible. You're responsible. There are a few exceptions throughout Shas where yesh shlich dvar avera. This is one of them. So if I send you, I'm a shomer, and I say, I want you to use that item for me, and you do it, I'm responsible. How do I know this? I'll call dvar pesha. So that's what Gemara says, Ein li elohu, I only know that you're a ganef when the shomer himself uses it. Omer le'avdoi ulushlucha menayin, if the shomer sends his eved or his shliach to use it, how do I know that yesh shlichas dvar avera by shlichas yad? Tam alemer, I'll call dvar pesha. So a call dvar pesha is inclusive of that. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, now Hitas Achavis. We said, Beishamai does not respond back. So Hitas Achavis, we said in the Mishnah that if you're only a Shleich Yad if you do a Maisa Kinyan. So if I pour a cup of wine out of the barrel without lifting it up, I didn't do a Kinyan on the barrel, so I'm only responsible for the wine that I took out. But if the barrel were to get struck by lightning, that's not my responsibility because I'm not a Ganif on the whole barrel. I didn't do a kinyan on the whole barrel. But says the Gemara, yeah?
You have to do a kinyan on the whole barrel.
I didn't.
So what didn't he do?
I didn't do a kinyan. I poured out like this. It's not a kinyan. I poured it out without picking it up. I didn't do Hagbah Mashicha. I just turned. That's it. So says the Gemara, if after I do this, I'm not responsible if anything were to happen to this barrel, because I would not be responsible because I didn't do a Maisa Kinyan. And therefore, if I pour a cup out, I'm responsible for the cup because the cup I picked up, I did a Maisa Kinyan. But the barrel itself, if it gets struck by lightning, I'm not responsible. But says the Gemara, Amarav Eloishan Elanishbara, that's only true if the barrel burst or if an absolute onus happened to the barrel, struck by lightning, Aval Hechmitza. But let's say the barrel soured. So then I am responsible. Why? Says the Gemara, Mishalim is kula maitaima giri didi hudania. It was your arrows. There's such a concept that when a barrel has, when it's more airspace, when it's less full, more likelihood that it sours. So by me actually pouring out a cup, I actually actively ruined the rest. So I'm not, it's not like, it's not an onus anymore. If it sours, normally they say, well, souring is an act of God. Not when you pour out a cup. Because when you pour out a cup and you made the barrel less full, it's more likely to sour, so you soured it via dime. So that's considered a mazik. That's not considered an onus. Okay, now we said in the Mishnah that if I lift it up, I did a Maisa Kinyan, then I'm responsible if I poured out a cup of wine. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, loy notal notal mamish, ala kivon shek bialitel af bishaloy notal. Says Shmuel, once you lift up the barrel with the intent of stealing a cup, you don't even have to pour the cup out. You're already a Shaleach Yad. Oh, now let me ask you a question. We had a couple days ago a machloikas whether you're Shaleach Yad if there was no chisaron. Are you a Shaleach Yad if you did not cause the item to be deficient? So what did Shmuel just say? I picked up the barrel with the intent to steal it. To steal a cup. I didn't actually pour a cup out. I'm already a Shaleach Yad. Why? It must be Shmuel holds that to be a Shaleach Yad, you don't need to be deficient in the item. You don't have to make the item less valuable or less full or more deficient. If you hold that you need to make the item more deficient, less valuable, need to damage it in such a way, then wouldn't I have to pour the cup out? You're saying that by me picking up the barrel with the intent of stealing it, even if I don't end up pouring out a cup, I'm already a Shaleach Yad. So says the Gemara, Lema Kasavar Shmuel Shlichas Yad Eina Tzricha Chesaron. Are we supposed to deduce from this that Shmuel Shita is that you're a Shaleach Yad even if there's no Chesaron? Meaning, even if you did not cause the item to be deficient in any way, you're already a Shaleach Yad. Because if you hold that you need to make the item more deficient in some way, you'd have to pour a cup out. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, Shani Hacha Denichalete Tehava Hachavis Kula Bosis Luravis. It's very interesting. Shmuel Shita is that to be a Shaleach Yad, you actually have to cause the item to be less valuable, more deficient. So why don't you have to pour a cup out? The answer is, we just got finished saying that it's better for the wine to be all in one barrel. So we actually look at it when you pick up the bottle with the intent to steal, we look at it as if you poured out a cup, but then you decided, you know what, I'm going to pour it back in. Meaning, normally, the item has to be less valuable for you to be a Shaleach Yad. Why over here do you not have to pour out a cup? Because I'll tell you why. A person would rather the cup stay with the rest of the contents. Meaning, we look at it as if you poured the cup out. You said, okay, I stole this cup. And then he said, you know what? I'd rather the wine be together in the barrel. It's safer that way. So then I poured it back in. You understand what I mean? Meaning, we don't look at it as, normally you have to be deficient. So if you take a baseball bat and you hit a baseball with it, but the bat is the same value, not a Shaleach Yad. You're only a Shaleach Yad if you made the item less valuable. So why don't you have to pour a cup out? Because in this case, it's better safekeeping for the wine to be there. So it's ke'ilu I poured it out and then poured it back in. It's ke'ilu you poured it out in order to steal it. But then you said, I'd rather the wine is safer. I don't want a cup of wine sitting on the counter. You picked it up with the intent of stealing. So why didn't you say that you have to pour it out? The answer is you don't have to pour it out. Merely wanting to steal, then in this case is enough. Why? Because if you were to pour it out, would it be better for it to be out or in the barrel? In the barrel. So we look at it as if you poured it out, stole that cup, and then said, I'd rather it's safer in the barrel. I'll pour it back in. That's how we look at it. So when it's better for it to be in the original container, and you picked it up with the intent to steal, we look at it as if you took it out and then put it back in. Okay. That's what when it comes to wine. What about money? I picked up a wallet full of coins with the intent to steal a coin, but I didn't take the coin out. Do we look at it as if I took the coin out and said, no, I'd rather it be in the wallet? Now, what would the svara be for this? Wine is always better to be in the barrel with the rest of the wine. Is that the same case with money itself? Says the Gemara, Boy Ravashi, Higbia Arniki Litala Menudinar Mahu. Do we say that wine needs to stay in the barrel, so therefore the fact that you didn't take it out does not mean that you didn't make it deficient? It's you just rather keep it in the barrel. Aval zuza mintar, but when it comes to money, I can keep a coin in my pocket. It doesn't have to, I'm not worried about it souring. Or do we say that even when it comes to a wallet, a person would rather keep coins in the wallet together? I'll tell you why. There's less likelihood of me losing a quarter when it's with my coin purse, with other quarters. One coin, I keep in my pocket, it might fall out, might not fall out. But when it's with a wallet full of other coins, more likely that it's safe. It's not as necessary as wine, but it's somewhat necessary. So the question is, if you picked up a wallet with the intent of stealing a coin, but you didn't take the coin out, do we look at it as if you took the coin out but decided to leave it in, or no? True, but it's affecting my practicality. Practically, I'd rather it be there. Not sure. Teku, that's the answer. We're not sure. And Hadronolach HaMafgir. Okay, now we begin the world of Hazav. Now, let me explain an introduction to the Mishnah. I don't know. I'm living day to day. I'm living in the moment. I will say this. Today, it's not the hardest daf. I get it. I get what the Gemara is trying to do. Once you understand what the Mishnah is trying to do, it makes the daf very, very pleasant.
Oh, man.
Okay, here's the rule. Rule number one. When you're dealing with a transaction, there's a certain point where the transaction is done and you can't back out. Okay. Now, obviously, each transaction has that different point, that tipping point. Each transaction, just starting the new parak, each transaction has that new has that tipping point. So when it comes to selling movables, here's the rule. Okay, I'm buying a sefer from Arla. I have $10 cash. You have the Gemara. If I hand you the cash, the transaction is not done yet. Handing over the money does not create the chalois kinyan. Therefore, if I hand you the money, I could back out and you could back out. The money doesn't do it. It's the merchandise. You give me the Gemara, and I do a Maisa Kinyan on the Gemara, we're done. Kinyan is over. Now you just owe me money. No backing out. Once the merchandise is passed from hand to hand, there is no backing out. Money, there still is. Not the merchandise. Fine. That's rule number one. Now, here's what today's daf is going to be dealing with. This is the fun part. Most times, I could tell you what the merchandise is, and I could tell you what the money is. Well, it depends what the item is. If it's a cow, it's going to be Mashiach. If it's going to be a Gemara, it's going to be Hagbah. So most times I know when the merchandise is and what the money is. In this case, the money is the money and the merchandise is the Gemara. But what if we're trading money for each other? Gold for silver. So here's the deal. I have one gold dinar. One gold dinar in the times of the Gemara was 25 silver dinars. So I have one gold coin, and you have 25 silver coins. We're money changing. What's the money, and what's the merchandise? Meaning, there's one money, and there's one merchandise. If I give you the gold, did I give you the merchandise, and then the deal is officially finalized, and there's no backing out? Or is the silver the merchandise, and the gold is the money? There's always a money and a merchandise. And usually with items, it's pretty clear. But what happens when they're both currency? What's the money? What's the merchandise? That's what you got to figure out. You got to define what is money, what is merchandise, what are the rules. That's the case. So when you're dealing with exchanging assets, gold and silver and copper, what's the money? What's the merchandise? Again, when the merchandise is passed, the deal is finalized. There's no backing out. When the money is passed, it's not finalized. So you got to figure out what's the money, what's the merchandise.
Presumably the same question. question would occur if it's merchandise and merchandise.
No, so merchandise and merchandise, the Gemara is going to tell us that we just say that when that either one is, they're both merchandise, so that is fine.
Either one.
Correct.
Money, both.
Correct. But when it comes to money, both gold and silver, what's the money, what's the merchandise? It has many halachic ramifications, as we'll deal through it today's daf. So let's start. Says the Gemara, if you're exchanging gold, the Mishnah, if you're exchanging gold for silver, hazav kainas hakesef. The gold acquires the silver, meaning the gold is the merchandise, the silver is the money. Now the reason for this is, that Gemara is going to explain, is that the definition of money, by the way, obviously it's all relative, because silver compared to corn is money, and gold compared to corn is money. It's just when they're facing against each other, it's much more complicated, obviously. The definition of money is something that is very fluid. There's a lot of it, and it's very acceptable. People accept it. This is the whole, with the whole, cryptocurrency, when it was coming up, it's just trying to define what money is. Silver is more common and more easily acceptable in stores than gold. You can't go into a makolet and buy a container of milk with a gold diner. It was like a gold bar. It didn't work. And therefore, when you're going gold against silver, gold is the merchandise, silver is the money. That's the rule. Let's keep going. Hakesef ein kozes zav. But silver does not acquire gold, meaning the silver is the money. When the silver is passed over, deal is not done yet. Now that's gold and silver. So gold is the merchandise, silver is the money. Let's keep going. What about copper and silver? Hanachosh is kind of hakesef. Same thing. Copper is the merchandise. Why? Copper was not as common. It's not as valuable, but it wasn't as common. Therefore, if you're exchanging copper for silver, silver is the money. So far, silver is the money, silver is the money. Let's keep going. Hakesef in
Kornos Hachoshes. Mosa. I understand why gold is not.
Because you're thinking of value. Gold is more valuable than silver.
I understand.
Therefore, you're thinking, well, okay, merchandise equals more valuable than copper. Doesn't make sense. The answer is it's because it has to do with how easy is it to use it in the stores. If you have, not shekels, what they used to call them, agurot. You could have a random old agurot from like 1950 that you're buying in an antique store. It's worth nothing. But that's not currency. That's a merchandise. Because it has no, it's much less valuable than a 20 shekel piece, but it has no practical use in the stores. Copper was not as circulated as silver. Therefore, silver is the money. Silver is the money so far. Again, you see, gold against silver, you think, well, silver is the money. That means that defining merchandise is more valuable. Nechoshes is less valuable, but it's still the merchandise because it's not a matter of value. It's a matter of circulation and practical use. Let's keep going. Mos haros kones hayafos. Hayafos in a kones haros. Let's say I'm exchanging bad coins for good coins. That's coins where they're scraped off, the image is scraped off, or out of circulation. Bad coins are going to be the merchandise. Good coins are going to be the money. Asimon kones amatbeya. Amatbeya in a kones asimon. Asimon, this is not the calling cards. Asimon is a piece of metal that is not minted yet. So it's just a flat disc before they put the face on it. So asimon is the merchandise. Again, not as common, and therefore not as not considered money. Let's keep going. Metaltlin kindness a matbeya, matbeya and a kindness metaltlin. And just to summarize the rule, movables are considered the merchandise as opposed to the money, which is the money. Okay.
And again, money doesn't do the final king.
No, merchandise does. Now the Mishnah says a rule, kol ha-metaltlin koinin ze-ezeh. All movables acquire each other, meaning when you're going two items, then just two items of merchandise, meaning I'm trading one Gemara for a different Gemara, then they're both merchandise. The second anyone gets either, deal is finalized. There is no money in that case, they're just both merchandise. Says the Gemara, now the Mishnah speaks out the rule that I've been saying the whole time. Ketzad, moshachim menu peiros v'lo nasan amayis. If you have merchandise and money, so forget about money, let's just go merchandise and money. I have a $10 bill, you have a Gemara. So if you give me the merchandise, deal is finalized. No backing out. But if you gave the money first, but not the merchandise, you could still back out. Deal is not finalized. But says the Mishnah, you should know, although you're technically able to back out, backing out is a curse upon you. But the used to say in the Mishnah is, that's called Mishapara, which means that the God who avenged, who punished the Dar HaMabul and Dar HaFloga, who osidli para mishenu emet b'dvare, he will punish those that don't keep their word. Meaning, if I gave you the money, but I did not give you, you didn't give me the Gemara yet, technically we could back out. But backing out from your word is a bad thing. Says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon, exactly, Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon disagrees. He actually feels that kol shakesef biyode yode el yoyna. Rav Shimon actually disagrees. He says that when, this concept that when the money is passed, you could still back out halachically, he says no. The only one who could back out is the one who has the money. Meaning, if I have a Gemara, you have the money, and you give me the money, I could back out, you can't. So that's Rav Shimon's take. Okay, fine. Let's start the Gemara. So right now in the Mishnah started off by saying that when you have gold and silver, the gold is the merchandise and the silver is the money. That's the version that we have. The truth is, there was an earlier version of the Mishnah where it was reversed. And that's what we're going to deal with the rest of the daf, is to try to figure out which version is correct. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Masnila Rebbe Lerv Shimberei, Rebbe taught this Mishnah to his son Rav Shimon, Hazav Kaines HaKasef, that the gold acquires the silver, meaning the gold is the merchandise and the silver is the currency. Amar Eloi, Rav Shimon said to his father, Rebbe, my teacher, Rebbe, isn't it? Rebbe was, he wasn't referring to him by name. Rebbe, isn't Rebbe, my Rebbe. Shanisa Lanabi Aldusecha, I remember when we were younger, you taught us the opposite. HaKesef Kaines Hazav, that the gold is the currency. So now you're telling me the silver is the currency. I remember you reversed it when we were younger. So you flipped it. So, okay, fine. So he changed his mind. So the question is, so originally he felt that the gold was the currency, and now he changed it to that the silver is the currency. And the question is, why did he change his mind? What did he originally think, and what does he think now? So the Gemara says, Bialdusa Maisavar, what did he originally think when he felt that the gold was the currency? Ubizaknusa Maisavar, and why did he change his mind? So the Gemara says, Bialdusa Savar, Dahava, by the way, I actually think most people, if you'd ask someone off the street and you said there's gold and silver, which is the currency, most people would probably say the younger version, which is gold is the currency. Why? More valuable.
I think they say silver because money is
called kesef. I don't know. Okay, but that's just in Hebrew. I'm saying in English. If you were to say gold and silver, I think most people would just say, well, more valuable. That's money. That's what he originally thought. So the Gemara says, Bialdusa Savar.
If you had asked that question 30, 40 years ago, they definitely would have said silver. The silver was a currency.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I guess
gold,
it was.
Gold,
well, it was backed by gold, I guess.
Gold,
but
gold was.
Now it's. Now it's Dogecoin.
You change so, gold, or you held it
in a yeah. But Aldusa Sabah, the Gemara says, when Rebbe was younger and he thought that gold was the currency, he felt, Dahava de Choshev Havativa. Whatever is more valuable is the currency. That's what he originally thought. But then he changed his mind. He said, no. Mm-hmm. And Kasav Loi Choshev Haperah. And silver, which is less valuable, is the merchandise. Vikoni Le Perilativa. But when he got older, he changed his mind, and that's the mission that we have today, which is Kasva, go to the next page. Silver, which is more circulated, is defined as money. So originally the cheshbon was it was value. But now he changes his mind. He says, no, it's not value, it's just currency. It's just circulation. How easy is it to go into the store and buy it? Let me explain outside the next Gemara's point, and it'll be a lot easier than if I say it inside. Okay, the Gemara said gold and silver. We had two different versions. But then it said copper and silver. Silver is the currency. Now, it says the Gemara, the original version of Rebbe was like this. Gold and silver. Gold is currency. More valuable. Then the next one would be gold is currency. Silver merchandise. Then when it's silver against copper, copper merchandise. Silver is currency. So then it kind of makes sense. In the original matchup, gold against silver, gold is money, gold is currency, not silver. But then copper against silver is currency. So it's like, it's sort of, you see the flow. And there's even a chiddush in it. Gold against silver, he said gold is the currency because it's more valuable. So you might think silver against copper, silver is more valuable, and therefore it's the currency. It's the evolution of like, gold against silver, gold wins. And then now, silver against copper, silver wins. Okay, fine. But let's go with the version we have. Forget about that. That was the version that they... Let's go with the version we have. Gold against silver, what's the currency? Silver, because it's more in circulation. Silver against copper, what's more in circulation? Silver. So what's the chiddush? According to the second version, the definition of money is not more valuable. It's just circulation. So gold against silver, what's more in circulation? Silver. You know what's also more in circulation, silver against copper? Silver. So what do you have to tell me for? Like, it according to the second version, it's purely based on circulation, then, like, it's pretty pushit. According to the first version, at least there's, like, an evolution. Gold is more valuable, therefore it's the currency. Silver is more valuable, therefore it's the currency. Okay, gold originally beat silver, now silver beats copper. Like, okay, but this is just, like, gold against silver, what's the currency? Silver, more circulated. Silver against copper, what's the money? Silver, more circulation. It's like, yeah, okay. Like, what's the chiddush? Silver is more in circulation than gold and copper. So why do I need, like, different categories? If it's value, if it's based on value, so then, okay, gold is more valuable than silver. And now you're telling me silver is more valuable than copper. Okay. It's kind of pushed also, but at least it's speaking out. There's like a flow. But if you're just telling me silver is the currency because it's more circulation. It has nothing to do with value. I mean, even though gold is more valuable, silver is still the money. So now silver against copper, silver is more valuable, and it's more in circulation. Of course it's the money. It's like, it's a question. So why does it have to be stated? If it's all based on circulation, silver is more circulating, and it's more valuable. So it's posh that it's the money.
Yeah, but it's saying that if
copper became a circular. Oh, so the Gemara is going to answer something like that. So let's see it inside. Rav Ashi, Bialdusa Mistabra. I actually like the version of originally, which is that gold is the money. Mititani hanachosh is kona kesef, because the next part of the Mishnah says that copper acquires the silver, that the silver is the currency compared to copper. Now, if you say that the evolution is gold is the money compared to silver, so gold is the money compared to silver, silver is the money compared to copper. Okay. But if you say our version, which is silver is the currency compared to gold because it's more circulated, even though it's less valuable, then so if silver is the circle is the money compared to gold where it's less valuable because it's more circulated, then by compared to copper, it's more valuable than copper, it's more circulated than copper, of course it's money. What does the Mishnah have to say? So you know what the answer is? It's there. So the answer is the chiddush of the, it's all about circulation. So why do you have to mention that silver is the money compared to copper when it's more circulated? I'll tell you why. Because there are certain locations where all they use is copper. In most areas, copper is not used. But in the places where it's used more than silver. In those very poor areas. So you might think that because there are locations that it's more circulated, it's considered the currency. Kamash one, no. You go by the whole province as a whole. Okay. Now, this is now going to take us into the next area. This is related to laws of rivas. And that is, okay, let me tell you outside there's a concept. Okay, the concept is like this. If I borrow a cup of flour from you, one cup of flour, and at the time that I borrow a cup of flour, the market value of a cup of flour is a dollar. If I then want to return the cup of flour a week later, but this time the value of the flour is $2, that's a problem. I'm giving you back the same flour you gave me, cup for a cup, but now it's much more valuable. That's called interest. You lent me a dollar, but you're getting back $2. Now, you're not doing it in currency, you're doing it in merchandise. That's called sa'ah b'sa'ah. A sa'ah for a sa'ah. That is ribas. That is not allowed. Practical halacha, not for now, but that is the concept. Except with money. Money, it is allowed. Meaning, if I give you $100 and then I get back, no one has ever objected to paying back the same $100 later. That's literally every loan that's ever existed. Why don't we say, wait, when I give you $100, inflation was at a certain level that it could buy 5 bushels of apples. But now $100 can buy you 7 bushels of apples. You can't do it. What's the answer? The answer is when with merchandise, the fluctuation of value is, we look at it as different values. When it comes to money, we never look at the money is always stable. Chazal always looked at money as stable. It's the buying power. It's the merchandise that dropped. Meaning, if $100 can buy you 5 apples, and now $100 can buy you 7 apples, we look at $100 as the same value. The silver is the same, the gold is the same, the copper is the same. It's the value of the apples that's fluctuating. Therefore, I cannot lend you a cup for a cup because there are fluctuations of value. But I can do money for money. So we're trying to figure out, is gold and silver, which one is a currency? So you'll see. Again, money you could always lend for each other. We don't care about fluctuation. it's merchandise that's a problem. So let's see it inside. I think Rav Chiya also holds that gold is, I mean, at least relative to silver, is considered money and not a merchandise. Why? Because, by the way, if it's money, that means that the loan would not be an issue. Merchandise would be an issue. De Rav Oizev dinare mebarte de Rav Chiya. Rav borrowed gold dinars from Rav Chiya's daughter. So he borrowed a gold dinar. L'soif yaki dinare. After, like, he borrowed it for a week. By the time that he borrowed it during the week, the value of gold went up. So now the question is, can he give back the dinar? Now, if this was cups of flour, it would be a problem. If it was merchandise, it would be a problem. If it's money, it's okay. Here's the question. Is this gold dinar money or merchandise? So he wasn't sure. So Aslakam de Rav Chiya, he asked Rav Chiya, Amrle zil shlem mutav v'daglin. Rav Chiya says, go give back the money. It's fine, meaning mutar, give back the money. Oh, so meaning go give back, go pay her the value of the dinars, meaning figure out the value of gold, pay it back. Meaning, so iyam b'shloim adahavativ ahave. If you say that gold, meaning basically you figure out, you weigh 25 silver pieces, you give that level of gold. That's what she gave you. Meaning give back what you gave her, even though it's more valuable now. So wait a minute. If it's merchandise, says the Gemara, iyam b'shloim adahavativ ahave. If gold is currency, shapir, then it makes sense because then it's stable and the silver is the fluctuating. Again, when it comes to gold, they would always, it was always dictated based on how much silver. You could always buy 25 silver for gold. So the value of silver and gold is fluctuating. If you look at gold as money, it's stable. It's the silver that's moving. So therefore, he says give it back. That means that there's considered currency. Shapir. Eliyama pei rahava. But if you look at gold as a merchandise, like a commodity, like flour, havale sa'a b'sa'a. This is called sa'a b'sa'a, which means you can't borrow a cup of flour and return a cup of flour if the value is different. So v'asr, it's a problem of ribbis. So it must be the fact that he permitted it, it must be that Rav Chiya holds that gold is considered a currency. The answer is no. That sugya of borrowing a cup of flour, there is a case where it is allowed. Rav dinare havale. The answer is, let's just quick halacha. Again, it's not for now. Why? We'll get into it. This is Ezum Neshach. I want to borrow a cup of flour from you. I borrow a cup of flour, and I return it 2 days later. But by the time I return it, a cup of flour, the value of flour went up. So that's a problem, except if I have flour in my house. The halacha is that if I have flour in my own home, and for whatever reason, it's behind something, I can't get to it, or it's tied up right now, I have it, I own it, I just don't have access to it, then I am actually allowed to borrow a cup for a cup. Why? Because when I go and borrow a cup of flour for you, because I do have it, it's as if that's yours now. And therefore, when I'm paying it back to you later, I'm not paying back the value it is later, I'm paying back the value it was at the time. Meaning, I borrow flour at $1 a cup on Sunday, I return it on Wednesday, but now it's worth $2. That's a problem, because I'm borrowing $1, giving back $2. Except, if I have a cup of flour, at the time that I borrow it, I have flour somewhere in the cupboard, then when I borrow a cup of flour, it's as if I say to you, take the flour now. Leave it in my house, but it's yours. So then, I borrowed it at $1, and it's valued at $1 when I returned it. I'm not giving you new flour, I'm giving you that same flour that was always valued the same amount. So the case is that really, Rav Chiya could actually look at gold as being merchandise. So then why is he allowed to pay it back when the fluctuation of price? The answer is he had gold in his bank, and therefore it's no problem of saw basaw. Well, we'll get into this much more.
But theoretically, when you go to every store you go to, merchandise, prices fluctuate. So
correct, but that's why most times, because it's never a loan. If you were doing, there are most times when you're going into the store, it's not a loan. If it was a loan, it's a problem. And that's why we are going to see there are cases, we'll get into it, where you do go into the store and it could be problems. Like putting money on a tab could be potential certain issues. In most cases, it's just, it's a transaction. It's not a loan. Up here is a loan. That's why it's more of a problem. But you're right. There are loans with Wassermans that could be major issues. So the Gemara says, Nasakarm leheveni achi yava bini achi emtsa mafteach. Okay.
If you owe money to somebody.
Huh? It is a loan, but you're paying back money. If you are paying back merchandise, I'll give you an example. If no one would do this, but if you went into Wassermans and said, "Hey, I'd like to, I'm buying a 5 pound thing of flour. I don't really have money on me. Can you just put it on my tab? Okay. And then when you come back, instead of paying money, you're like, I actually have a 5 pound thing of flour. Can I just give it back to you? That would be a major problem. You better make sure that the values are identical. It doesn't happen because we don't do this anymore. They used to do it in Europe all the time. We don't do this anymore.
But if you use money.
No, money is money because it's money for money. It's just that the merchandise is what you're spending the money on, but it's not considered. Correct.
It changes the value, but that's basic merchandise.
Correct.
You told me examples of that.
Yeah, well, we've had cases. Amarava, hai tana savar dahava tivahava. This Tana also believes that gold is considered currency compared to silver, like Rebbe's first version. Tanya, pruta sha'amru echad. Okay, basically like this. Let me explain outside what we're about to do. As I mentioned, when you have money and merchandise, one of the major differences between merchandise and money is when there's a fluctuation, what is the more constant? Chazal looked at the money as constant and the merchandise changes in price. Merchandise fluctuate, money doesn't. That's how we looked at it. So if you have $100 that could buy 10 apples and then all of a sudden $100 can buy you 20 apples, we don't look at the value of the $100 plummeting. We look at the value of apples plummeting. When it's money against merchandise, we always look at the money as being constant. Basically, the proof is going to be that the Gemara is going to say... Okay, I'm not talking about current currency. It could be changed. I'm talking in the eyes of Chazal, at least their value. The reason why this is going to be a proof when it comes to gold and silver, and this is going to be a knockout proof that gold is a currency, is because gold, one gold coin, got you 25 silver dinars. Yeah, one gold dinar, 25 silver dinars. That was the ratio. The Gemara says, if you want to know the value of a pidyon haben is always 4/5 of a gold dinar, meaning the gold dinar is constant. The value of the silver fluctuates. And therefore, if a father gives a kayin one gold dinar, he gets back 1/5 of it back. Doesn't matter whether the silver... So if you can get 25 silver dinars for a gold dinar, that's the halacha, then you get back 5 dinars back because you're getting 1/5. If you can buy 20, you're going to back 4. You're always going to get back. The gold is the constant. It's the silver that's fluctuating, which already tells you the silver is the merchandise. The money is the gold is the constant. The gold is the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Hai tana sover dahava tibahava d'tanya pruta shamru echad mishmaina bisad." The Gemara gives you rules. A pruta is always 1/8 of an Italian isser. Okay, meaning the Italian isser is the constant. The pruta is always 1/8 of it. Says the Gemara, "Lamai nafkemin lekedusha isha." The pruta is negea kedushin. Isser echad me esim viarba bedinare shel kesef. An isser is always 1/24 of a silver dinar. Lamai nafkemina lemechach memka. That's negea buying and selling. Means if a person charged more than 24 issers for a silver dinar, you overcharge the guy. And dinar shel kesef, a dinar of kesef is echad me esim mechamisha bedinar shel zav. A silver dinar is always 1/25 of a gold dinar, meaning a gold dinar is always 25 times more valuable than silver. Doesn't matter what the silver is. The gold is always the same. It's the silver that fluctuates. The Gemara says, "Lamai nafka mina lepidyon haben." It's regated for pidyon haben, meaning, so pidyon haben is always 4/5 of a gold dinar. If the father gave a kayin a gold dinar, you always get back 1/5. Doesn't matter how much silver. It could be a lot of silver. It could be less silver. The gold is the same. It's the silver that's fluctuating. So the Gemara says, if you say that gold is considered the money, that's why it's considered fixed. It's considered the fixed value. But if you say the gold is considered relative to the silver merchandise, then why do you say that it's 1/25 of the gold? It could change. The fact that you're saying is that means that you look at it as that's the constant, which is how Chazal looked at currency. So you see that gold and silver, gold is considered the currency, shma mina. Okay, now let's say it like this. Tanan Hasan, we'll finish up. Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah says, this is a rule in Maisa Sheni. We know the rule is that when you have Maisa Sheni fruit and you don't want to bring it to Yushalayim, you transfer the holiness onto cash. What if I transfer the holiness onto silver, And now I want to transfer the silver onto gold. And by the way, the reason why you'd want to do this is because you have a lot of silver. And you're like, listen, 25 silver, let me just change it to one gold. Am I allowed to? So think about it. You could only, the Pasuk says, you could change the Kedusha from fruit, from merchandise, to cash. Not from cash to merchandise, to cash only. So you want to go from silver to gold. Well, if gold is cash, then you can. If gold is considered merchandise to silver, then you cannot. That's basically it. The Gemara says, Tanan Hasan, Beishameh Oymrim Le'asa Adam Sloin Din Arizav. Beishameh says you cannot change the Kedusha from silver into gold because the gold is considered merchandise and you can't go from money to merchandise. You can only go from merchandise to money. Beisil Matir and Beisil says it's fine. They look at gold as currency. Rav Yechon Reish Lakish. Rav Yechon Reish Lakish, they explain the machlokes. Chanamer, machlokes besloim al dinarin. The whole machlokes is where I'm trying to change from silver to gold. The Beshamai Savri, kaspativa, davapera. Beshamai holds that silver is considered the money, gold is the merchandise, vitiva pera loy mechalin. And you cannot change the kedusha from money to merchandise. The Pasuk says you go from peris to money, not vice versa. Beis Hillel Savri, Kaspa Peru, Tavativa. Beis Hillel holds the opposite. The gold is the currency, and therefore you're able to transfer the Kedusha. Perativ Mechalilin. That's the Machlaikas when it's silver and gold. But Avo Peris al Dinarin. But let's say I wanted to transfer the holiness of fruit onto money, onto gold. Meaning, the whole problem Beis Shammai has is because he holds that when gold is against silver, gold is merchandise. But when it's gold against fruit, of course it's money. Meaning, the whole shaila of whether gold is currency is only when it's compared to silver. But obviously when it's compared to corn, it's currency. My taima, mi dehava kesel veisil. Kesel veisil avagav de kasel gav dehava perahava, legav peritivahava. So havnami le beshamai avagav dehava legav kesva perahava legav peritivahava. Although beshamai holds that gold is considered the merchandise, that's only compared to silver. But compared to fruit, it's avada money. It says the Gemara, V'chad Amar, but one opinion disagrees. He says, Af peperis al dinar machlokes. No, he actually looks at gold as a commodity. Gold is never a currency. It's a merchandise always. Therefore, you cannot transfer the Kedusha of fruit onto gold ever. That's Beis Shammai Shita, according to one version. We'll end with this. Ulaman Amar Af peperis al dinar machlokes. Wait a minute. If you're telling me that according to one opinion, Beis Shammai holds you can't transfer the Kedusha of fruit onto gold, so why does he argue about silver onto gold? A bigger Kiddush. Beis Shammai says you can't transfer the Kedusha from silver onto gold. If you're telling me that he holds you can't transfer the Kedusha of corn onto gold, say that, that's a much bigger Kiddush. Meaning, if Beis Shammai's point is that money, gold is always merchandise, not even compared to silver, just in general, it's not a currency because it wasn't used very often, then give me corn. Say you can't transfer Kedusha of corn onto gold. That's a much bigger chiddush. The Gemara says, "Mandam rapa peris al dinar machloikas on the mitzvah gibislan al dinar, lifuk beperis al dinar." Say that. The answer is, "Yifuk beperis al dinar." If we pick that case and we said if the machloikas was just about fruits and vegetables onto gold, I would say, "Hanimi leperis al dinarin, avislan al dinarin, moidle beisila beishamai." I would say maybe they only argue with that, but when it comes to silver to gold, then maybe there's no machloikas. Meaning, I would say maybe Beis Hillel would agree that it's considered that gold is considered merchandise. Meaning, I wouldn't know what Beis Hillel shita was. Kamash Malan, you need that they argue by both. My pleasure. No.